Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right. Get hype. National championship game is tonight, 11:30 Central Time. They will tip off. It's actually 8:20. It's in Glendale, so it's going to be 6:20 out there. So that makes sense, right? It's pretty early. I mean, I guess you could do it if an hour earlier, but damn, I mean, let people get to the game, you know, at 5:30. UConn, right. Purdue, two highest-rated teams in KenPom, the Twin Towers, if you will, Klingon and Zach Edey.
Yeah.
Both big men just been absolutely rolling through this tournament. Two great coaches in Dan Hurley and Matt Painter. UConn, I would say, certainly a little bit more top-end talent. Probably a lot more top-end talent.
Yeah.
But Purdue, just a unit, right? Just a unit that's with ZD and Edey and better than the sum of its parts, so to speak, all season long. UConn, despite being tied with Alabama 56-56, I don't know if you were watching it, but it felt like for a moment, maybe,
yeah,
Alabama was going to at least hang.
Yeah, you were looking smart, yeah, as the team that was going to put up the better game.
Yes.
When we had talked about broke both games down.
Yes.
You were looking smart there for a while.
But that was not to be.
Then that tidal wave came.
Then the tidal wave came.
The Huskies tidal wave.
Then another tidal wave came, and before you know it, the Crimson Tide had washed out. And it's just amazing how they do it. And then on the other side, Purdue, slow grind. But this is two straight weekends where I have won four figures on Purdue basketball.
Good
so
grief.
We're very excited about the Boilermakers. It's never fun. It's never fun to lay 8.5 in a Final Four game. I will tell you that. That was nervy. That was very nervy.
63-50.
Because, NC State was just kind of like they were just hanging around. And it wasn't even like DJ Burns was having a good day. That was what was scaring me. DJ Burns was a non-factor. Buddy was about to pass out if they didn't get to that media timeout in the first half. Like, mm-hmm, you could just see it on his face. Like, if we don't get a call here, I think he took a foul just so he could, like, sit down for a minute at the under 8 mark.
Is that a Malkovich reference?
Yeah, from Rounders.
Okay.
Good call, man. Round of applause for Jason.
Thank you. I recognize
it. Let me tell you something. You can't slip no 15-year or older reference by him.
I love it when you give me those, especially that.
He was
that range of years.
Stupendous in that role.
Those references. Yes, he
Teddy.
Was.
Teddy KGB.
Yeah.
Was his official role there. But yeah, so Purdue basically, I think it's kind of like what happened with the better team eventually created separation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened in the Final Four. So we kind of expected. We both said Purdue and UConn were going to win. It was just a matter of who would be challenged more. I would say they were probably challenged equally, honestly. You never felt like NC State was going to win. That I will say. With Alabama, maybe there was a hint of a moment when Grant Nelson's dunking on Klingon, like, here we go.
Yeah, Grant Nelson looked like he's about to take over again for a minute, like he did against North Carolina.
I can't even really tell you why UConn just started raining down on him. I can't really tell you what happened. I guess Alabama started missing threes. They were 8 of 11 in the first half. They were still down 4.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was the thing. It's like, oh, my God, you have played a near-perfect game offensively.
Right.
And you are trailing by 4. That is kind of hard to fathom. So now we get UConn Purdue. As we said, I mean, this is the two best games of the turn, two best teams of the whole thing.
Will it be a double digit win by UConn?
That's the question. I mean, amazingly, like, we're not talking about UConn versus you know, pick a random team here. We're not talking about UConn versus Clemson. You know, we're talking about UConn versus the second one seed. The number 2 one seed in this thing, the number 1 and the number 2. And we're asking, can it just be a single-digit game? That speaks to the greatness of this UConn team, the dominance of this UConn team. Didn't matter that they had travel issues getting into Glendale late against Alabama. They still pulled away. They still did their thing. I struggle with this, Jason, because on the one hand, it's like, how on earth am I going to fade these Huskies? How on earth, given their dominance, given what they have done the last, going back 2 years, how can I fade? How can anybody pick against these Huskies? You said it. I mean, even if they have a rough night with the first unit, like you got Johnson coming in on the second unit, Diarra coming in on the second unit, you know, they got some real firepower and energy. And that's if their starting lineup's not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you fade this seemingly flawless UConn team?
They have no weaknesses.
They really don't. On the other hand, I'm like, how are you going to give Purdue 7 points? I mean, this Purdue team, just for those who don't know, have played a tough schedule. They have played all comers. I mean, if you look at their non-conference, they played Tennessee twice. They beat Tennessee twice. They beat them in the tournament. They beat them early in the season. They have played, hold on, I'm going to get the full body of work. They played Gonzaga twice, beat them twice. They beat Marquette. They beat Alabama. They beat Arizona. They beat Illinois. They beat, legitimately, they beat Michigan State. They beat Illinois twice. They beat Michigan State twice. Beat Illinois twice.
Again, none of them named UConn.
None of them named UConn.
Which
agreed.
Is better than anything in college basketball.
But
anything that you've named.
Do you not? Like, I will say UConn's opponents do not stack up to Purdue's. UConn's wins in quality do not stack up to Purdue's. And so that's why I'm thinking, like, can Purdue keep this close? Not necessarily win, but can they keep this game close because they haven't played UConn, but they have played everybody not named UConn, and they have beaten everybody not named UConn. In some cases, twice. You would say beating Tennessee twice. Did anybody do that this year?
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody did that this year.
Beat Tennessee twice? No.
I mean, did anybody beat Gonzaga twice? I don't think anybody beat Gonzaga twice. So I think you have to leave a little room for this being a competitive game. I don't know how Klingon's going to be officiated on ED. Can Braden Smith play any worse than he played against NC State? I don't think so. I have concerns about Purdue's ability to win the games because, like, UConn's so big, man. They go big at every spot, and Purdue's not a big team. Could they put, you know, because what you haven't seen, like, from a scouting perspective, could you put Kaufman Wren on Caravan, and can he play him out there, right? I think that's going to be an interesting one because Kaufman Wren's more of an interior guy. So can he run around with Caravan on the perimeter and challenge him? If he can do that, you have Edie on Kling, and that's a wash. If Kaufman Wren can kind of run around with Caravan, and then you're going to kind of head up with Castle, Newton, you know, Cam Spencer, there's not enough of a margin there to where I would say this has to be a blowout. But if Caravan gets loose, he starts raining down threes.
Right.
Kaufman Wren can't hang with him. Because Purdue only plays 6 deep, right? They bring in Gillis off the bench, who's good, but that's it.
And that's what's going to kill him in the second half.
I could see
They'll
that.
Be worn down.
I could see that. Edie has played 40 minutes, basically, the last 2 games. You know, so that's an interesting one to consider there too. He's guy's got to be out of gas.
Especially in the second game in 3 days.
But
it is almost two. It is almost like, I mean, with as late as this one starts, he's got plenty of time to recoup.
That's true. That's
it's
true.
Almost like 3 days of rest.
But like, nobody seems to be giving Purdue a chance in this one.
Stop. You're trying to talk yourself into it. That's the problem. I can see it on your
face. Is it really?
You're rubbing your head trying to talk yourself into Purdue and the points. Don't do it. You're going to be very disappointed.
Is it that easy?
It is that easy this season, and UConn showed us all year long it's that easy. Why are you going to go against it now? Because KenPom's got it a three-point game. That's a computer.
Because Purdue has been good to me.
Trust what your eyes have said. Trust what your eyes have told you all year long about UConn. They are a step above everybody else in college basketball. And will again. And the key is what you said. In the end, Purdue will get worn down. That's what's going to happen. UConn throws too much at you. At the end, the tidal wave, as we've phrased it, will be what runs the day in that second half.
Right.
UConn, Purdue will be worn down, and the talent will overwhelm. The talent and the numbers. I'm telling you, man, trust it. Stop trying to talk yourself into it.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to end up burned.
Well, I want a good game, and I love that Purdue team, and I love Zach Edey, but I just also have been – I think this is just a once-in-a-generation, you know, solar eclipse of a basketball team, and they've eclipsed every single team that they have come up against, and they've done it in dominant fashion, and they have not relented at any point. So at some point you just have to just say maybe this UConn team is just better than everybody else and they're that much better than everybody else. I mean, it's all clinging. Let's be clear about this. It's all clinging. When he leaves, UConn will revert back to a human program. They'll be good, but it won't be like this. They will have weaknesses. Clinging just changes. The guy's a top three pick in the NBA draft, and he's just he plays a position in college that you basically eliminate an entire shot, anything at the rim. It's just not happening, right? So you have to make you have to be able to make mid-range shots. Now, Purdue is number two in the country in field goal percent and three-point percentage. You know, I mean, that's the one thing you would say is like they're not. I mean, Illinois and Alabama, I guess, was the.
I was just going to say, and that those shots have to drop
right.
All night long.
Exactly, because the minute that they don't,
it's not like UConn isn't defending you.
Yes.
That's the thing. And they will wear you down. That's what happened to Alabama.
Yes. So, believe me, I'm not happy about it.
Yeah, you've tried to talk yourself into this three, four, five different ways. It's not happening.
I have not done anything with the game yet.
Be smart.
If I could get a 7.5, maybe. But as of right now, I'm just...
Are we getting in the 70s?
You mean the total?
Yeah, for both teams. Are we in the 70s? KenPom's got a 75, 72. Don't you see it more? Purdue's trying to make this a half-court game.
Absolutely.
Okay.
The sharp money's on the under.
Yeah.
This opened at 146.5.
Okay.
So, and it's been bet down to like 145-ish. So it might have actually opened at 147.5. So yes, the sharp money's on the under for those reasons. Purdue's not trying to play an open court game,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, they're just not. They're
better,
trying to
bet not
because they're
over in the first.
Their half-court offense is good. I mean, of course it is. It's got you have Zach Edey, Mount Edey.
Their way to win the game.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. If you here's the key. It's this simple: force UConn into one shot trips, get the rebound, play your basketball into Edey. If they double kick out to a wide open shooter, make the three. If not, if they don't double, get to the foul line. I mean, it's very rudimentary and it's very simple. It's binary. If UConn gets going on you. And they're making all their shots, and you're missing all your shots, and they're getting out in transition and just outrunning you and outgunning you. It's going to be a long night because you're not. I don't think you're built. You know, against you. I don't think anybody's really built against UConn to come back.
Mm-hmm.
What you have to do against UConn is you have to build a lead. You got to build like a 10, 12 point lead because you know that downpour is coming. But Purdue is 9-0 against top 15 opponents. UConn is 8-1 against top 15 opponents. So it is as evenly matched a game in terms of resume and bodies of work as it gets. And I'm looking forward to it. Tip off tonight at midnight. Make sure to catch that on TBS. We'll come back. Mark Spears is going to join us on the other side. Talk to him about the NBA, Grizzlies, Marc Gasol retirement.
of the jersey and more. Jason and John, how do you turn to fit?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
ESPN.
Who I am. Mark Spears is a senior NBA writer for Manscaped and ESPN. He's going to be in Memphis this Thursday at the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Memphis. Part of the 53rd annual Steak and Burger fundraiser. All the information, bgcm.org. He joins us now. Mark, what's happening, man? Good to hear from you.
I know, man. Coming out y'all way. Really, really, excited about the event. I don't know if I'm going to get a steak or burger at the event, but, you know, I'm going to get one of them. And, it's a really good cause. For the Boys and Girls Club of Memphis. Ironically, one of my good friends, Matisse Moore, is the president and CEO first year. We played in junior college together.
Wow.
At Foothill College in Los Altos Hills, California, not far from Stanford University. So we known each other. He's a year older than me. Make sure you tell him that when you see him. But he's known him since I was 18. And he certainly knows my whole journey as a journalist. I've been covering NBA now for 25 years and been blessed to get into the Hall of Fame. And so we're going to talk basketball. We're going to talk careers. And obviously, if, we both attended junior college first, it wasn't an easy road for us to both get to where we are today. So I think, our conversation could end up getting a little, emotional, reflecting back. But ultimately, I know Matisse, and hopefully he's a beautiful, great guy, man, and he's going to do amazing things in the city. And I know he wants and needs to help expand the operations throughout the city to aid crime and, stop crime and help the poverty, and the disparity numbers are on the rise. And so with events like this, it helps the city of Memphis, with this group. It helps the next generation. And, hopefully I can inspire some of these kids with my words, man, to know that even if you're not doing great in high school, it's not the end. I was a 2.2 high school student, GPA-wise, and I got my master's at a 4.2. So, wow. I changed dramatically. Things have worked out all right, right? So,
yeah.
Hopefully I'll have some inspiring words to give that could help somebody.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we're looking forward to having you. It should be a great event.
100%.
Certainly encourage people to go out and support. It was an emotional weekend in Memphis as Mark Gasol came back and had his jersey retired, joining Zach Randolph. And someday they're going to do it for Mike Conley, and someday they're going to do it for Tony Allen and all four of those guys that, helped really bring prosperity and success to Memphis basketball in a way that we had never seen. They're going to get their day. But as someone that did cover it and remembers it, How do you remember that team and those guys and those Grizzlies?
Shoot, you better be ready to fight. You know what I'm saying? I was privy to covering Tony Allen in Boston. Yep. And I thought that was an amazingly key for Memphis to add him, because he just exudes Memphis. Him and Z-Bo, they are Memphis, right? They weren't gifted with everything. Nobody gave them nothing. And they fought to have great NBA careers and just be a thorn on your side. And then Gasol, obviously he wasn't the first Gasol there, and wasn't the one that is kind of the afterthought Gasol. But, man, certainly ended up being a special offensive player. You have a floor general, Mike Conley, to the mix. They were close. They were close, man. They were close. And when they had their run, they, to me, always had a shot of, making it to the big dance. But just, certainly couldn't get over the hump. But, when you showed up there, whooped that tricks playing and all that, you better be ready to play, man.
Yeah. Blake Griffin found
gonna
out.
They're going to fight you. Yeah. The crowd's going to let you know who they for. And that was, to me, obviously, it's not a long, long time, but to me, that's probably the coolest era of the Memphis Grizzlies so far.
What do you think, and sort of spinning it forward, Mark, about this core that they've got right now? And obviously, they're in a unique position where they're going to have a fairly high lottery pick, it looks like, but with a team that, okay, if Ja Morant's not making mistakes, right, he comes back from the shoulder injury. You got Desmond Bain and Jaren Jackson now. Jaren, sort of a proven commodity now, both defensively and offensively, we've seen him blossom. And to your point about what Tony Allen was for him, for the Grizzlies at that time, they're sort of hoping that Marcus Smart can come in here and sort of maybe do some of the same things. What do you think about the current state of the Grizzlies and the possibility that they're bouncing right back into sort of maybe a two seed in the West or a contender next year? What do you think?
You know what? They are scary. And the thing is this, they'll be even hungrier than ever after what's gone on these past 2 years. I was actually at Ja Morant's return game in New Orleans, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yep.
They're about to be a problem the rest of the season. Obviously, Ja had his injury. But, man, my respect for Jaren Jackson was already high. But what he was been able to do this season through the adversity with Bane, I know Bane's missed some games, but both of those guys, man, strong respect for them. And then the thing that kind of happens in seasons like this, you end up finding a diamond in the rough in G.G. Jackson, yep. Right? I had no idea who this dude was. I do now. And so this kind of reminds me how it worked out that one COVID year for the Warriors that was really, really bad. And Jordan Poole ended up becoming a player out of that, mm-hmm. Right? I think that's the same for G.G. Jackson. So, to me, the next big day for the Grizzlies is draft lottery day, right? Because
no doubt,
I'm it's cool that they're winning some games right now, but I don't know if Memphis is really falling. And you're I can keep losing. Just stop winning some games right now. You almost root for losing.
Yeah, we're in mourning when they win. We're grieving.
Yeah, because people every year they talk about how bad the draft is, but I will say this: there is value in the top 10, and I think as long as the Grizzlies can stay in the top 10, they're going to get a pretty solid player that could help them. I've been doing a diary on this kid Ron Holland from Dallas who plays for the G League Ignite.
Yep.
Another kid. Montez Pozzelas from the G League Ignite.
Yep.
I mean, Ron Holland is Memphis. Ron Holland is, if you guys could get him, wow, that'd be an amazing pickup. I've been doing this diary on him, and I've become a big fan, and he's old school. He's old school. Memphis plays hard. You're going to have to watch him every game because he got that dog in him. And he's got that grit and grind in him. And I think he's going to end up being an all-star in time. You know, Matas Bezalis is more of a kind of like a Detlef Schrempf type, you know, which is great if you could get kind of that kind of player. So to me, if you could land like one of those guys, let's say if Grizzlies draft 7-8, right? I think there's an opportunity to get an amazing young player. I don't know that they come in and it's not like when Ja came in or anything like that, but I do think they have the ability to get a young, impactful player for the team in this draft. So, you know, sometimes in the darkness of these, you know, seasons like these are some of the few rewards that you get, that you do end up getting a young player that ultimately you can say, well, that pain ended up producing this and changing our fortunes.
Talking to Mark Spears, senior NBA writer for ESPN and Anscape, again, going to be here in Memphis this week as part of the Boys and Girls Club of Memphis as the keynote speaker. Get your tickets, all that information, Boys and
tickets
Girls.
Tickets still available. Tickets. They got a couple tables now. I know they got some money in Memphis. Somebody could get some tables.
That's right.
Help these kids out, man.
That's right. Yes. Absolutely, absolutely. As it relates to Ja, you know, he's – you know, it hasn't just been a 25-game suspension. Unfortunately, this equated to an entirely lost season for him, 25 games, and then the injury. He's also changing agents. It feels like, Mark, that this is a – or has the potential to maybe be a formative year just as a man for him and making different decisions. What do you think about Ja and the sort of trajectory he's on and your belief that he will be in a place where – he can be a face of a franchise and lead this team to where they want to go?
Well, I don't worry about him from a basketball standpoint. I mean, he's absolutely I don't need to explain to you guys what Ja Morant is as a player. Yep. He's special. He's elite. And you wonder now, like, when you see an Anthony Edwards take off, like he's taken off, like this is supposed to be Ja. Right? Ja's supposed to be that guy. Ja's supposed to be the guy selling shoes. Ja's supposed to be one of the young faces of the league. Ja's supposed to be in Paris playing for USA basketball.
Right.
Like, everything that's happened has cost him a tremendous amount. It's cost him money. It's cost him his reputation. It's cost the franchise. It's cost him an opportunity to potentially win an NBA championship. It's cost him an opportunity to potentially win a gold medal. Like, he's lost a tremendous amount over things. Once I think he hits 40, he's going to look back at himself and like, man, really? Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
In the grand scheme of things, when you get older and you look back, you're like, bro, that cost me so much on and off the court. So I hope that when he comes back, like, I remember – well, I wrote this thing last year where I said I thought the Grizzlies should sign Carmelo. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, but to me, Marcus Smart is that guy now. Derrick Rose is that guy now, like guys that have come in and can be mentors, you know, for him that have been there and done that. Like, Derrick Rose is the MVP in this league. Marcus Smart's been in the finals, right? Vets, not scared to say anything. So I think the Grizzlies got the right guys around them. But ultimately, Ja has to rise above all this, move on in the same way that Melo did. Like, we don't even talk about Melo's drama. There was a lot when I covered him for the Denver Post his first 3 or 4 years. Now you see him on commercials. He's sitting next to Eli Manning. He's got podcasts. He's doing this. He's doing that. Nobody talks about Melo's drama. Melo's cool now. Yeah. He's a spokesman. The guy's selling stuff. And I hope that 10 years from now, 15 years from now, 20 years from now, you know, we could say that about Ja. Say he's the first guy to bring a championship to Memphis. Say he overcame all that drama to mature and just focus on basketball. And I just really hope for him, for the city of Memphis, for the Grizzlies, like, after this year, like, it's bygones be bygones.
Yep, that's all right.
Like, we're not even talking about it anymore. Other than the fact that, wow, he triumphed, and look at his emotions because of his success.
Yep. Mark, I'm curious what we are, you know, you've having covered the NBA as long as you have, I'm really curious on your thought here. that this renaissance that we're experiencing in the league. Now, obviously, Denver may very well end up there holding the title again, and Jokic is certainly the face of the league right now. But LeBron and Steph have still got some things to say, obviously. But there's a passing of the torch going on. You mentioned some of those young guys. Ant is one of those young guys. Halliburton, you know, Ja watching him this year. Yeah. I've sort of wondered, man, what does that feel like? Just I'm curious, which young team – you know, which young stars do you find yourself now as we experience this passing of the torch that you love watching? I'm assuming we know Ja and Ann are up there, but out of these young players and young teams, which one do you find yourself enjoying the most watching?
Well, we got to talk about Jason Tatum more.
Yeah. Well, he needs – it's time for him, right, like, Mark? They got to step up this year, don't they?
Yeah, but he's still, like, 26.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's still young. And but for some reason, like, we never talk about Jason and Jalen. Like, yeah, I mean, and you're right. Like, if they don't make it to the finals this year, that's a huge disappointment for them.
No doubt.
The expectations, to me, are greater for them to make it to the finals than it is for the Denver Nuggets. And the reason why I tell you that is, I mean, look, man, you remember the 80s? And I know y'all like wrestling. I'm going to call it wrestling in the South, right? Remember the Battle Royals?
Yes.
And when they, it would be like 20 dudes in there and be the Iron Sheik and King Kamehameha and, you know, Big John Studd. And I'm dating myself now.
Yeah.
But it'd be like 20 dudes in there fighting and one survive, right?
Yep.
That's the Western Conference playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
And I think whoever comes out and all 10 teams in there have the ability to be the last one standing. Right, whoever comes out that makes it to the finals is going to have a bloody nose, going to have a black eye, it's going to be sore. And if the Celtics handle their business right, they're going to walk in there with a clean jersey, healthy, rested. And so it's bigger than just if they handle their business the way everything else is shaky in the East, I think that the Celtics are going to enter the finals healthy, experienced, ready to go. And a lot of times, as you could tell by the 2019 Raptors, health can help you win it all. Mm. And so if you're asking me who I think is going to win, I think Boston's going to win because they're going to come in there the most rested and healthy and ready to go, while the other, whoever the West finalist is going to come in there ailing.
Talking to Mark Spears, senior writer in the NBA for ESPN and Antscape. Again, going to be here in Memphis this week. Boys and Girls Club of Memphis, keynote speaker. Get your tickets. You guys know where to find them. And then, Mark, 7-8 years ago, you had a piece that we talked about extensively that we reference quite a bit still to this day.
We do.
We're speaking of Renaissance as the white American basketball player. Now, I believe at that time, it was like 18% of the league, or that was actually non-American. So I don't know where it stacks up today, Mark, but anecdotally, it feels like the white American basketball player, like the best guy that everybody said in your piece in 2016 was Kevin Love. So it feels like maybe the quality or just the, you know, number has increased. Are we going to get an update here on the white American basketball player?
It's a resurgence since your story, Mark, back in 16. A resurgence.
Reed Shepard?
Yeah. Well, I mean, well, Caitlin's not coming over to the NBA.
That's right.
She's pretty good. You know, Cooper Flagg.
Yeah, he's the next one.
Is like,
That's right.
I'm going to actually see him this weekend. I'm going to be at the Hoop Summit. Very, very excited to talk to him, to see him play. I haven't seen enough of him, to be honest. You know, I really like Matas Bozelis. I know his family has some Lithuanian ties. He has a Lithuanian name, but he's American.
Oh, okay.
Keep an eye on him. He could certainly end up wearing a Grizzlies jersey. So, definitely keep an eye there. But Cooper Flagg, to me, if we're talking to like white American basketball players, that's the next dude.
Yeah, he plays with an edge, Mark.
Somebody was telling me like it's funny you mentioned that story because they're like, in terms of, you know, white American basketball players, who is the guy right now? Who is the star of the league right now? And I was like the last one that was as like after Bird, who was that guy? And I guess I said, well, Nash, but he's Canadian.
Yeah.
Kevin Love, right? Like, so, but I think Cooper Flagg, you know, potentially has the ability to be the next superstar.
Austin Reeves is making strides.
No question.
Mark. Austin after that FIBA experience.
Come on now. I'm talking.
I know.
He makes an all-star.
No, I'm not with you. I'm not. But I do think that FIBA experience helped him out. Like, dudes, he's taking pride.
And he's a guard, which, you know, it just matters a little more when it's the guard.
Yeah, y'all digging in the crates, though.
No.
Y'all digging in the crates.
Ain't nobody saying Larry Bird here, okay? We ain't trying to make him MVP now.
No, I need a superstar. I need a superstar. Kevin Love, in his prime, was a superstar.
Okay.
Right. Chandler Parsons was supposed to be that for you guys.
He was quoted in the story. How about things ended for him?
Mm. Yeah.
Ryan Anderson was also quoted.
I don't think he hit a three after that story. it was brutal.
He was supposed to be your guy, man.
I know.
Oh, man,
I know.
We got you know
was,
the deal
it,
on
it was,
that.
Is damaged
the most
goods.
Disappointing player in y'all history?
That's one of the worst contracts in sports history, Mark. Is it?
Yes. We'll lock him and Hashim to beat in the gym. They can duke it out.
Ooh.
Yeah, they can duke it out.
Ooh. I mean, that's a good one.
Because Hashim represented you didn't get Harden, you didn't get Steph, you didn't even get Tyreke Evans. He was playing in Memphis. Right. You know, I mean, it was that simple.
Don't do that to yourself.
I know. Well, it's just part of the history.
Pain.
It's part of the history.
Yeah,
but
don't
yeah,
do that to yourself.
I mean, you got Reeves, Caruso, Tyler Hero. I mean, the shots he hits on a nightly basis.
Man,
you know?
Stop. Cooper Flagg is coming though.
Yeah, I've been waiting for Hero to take that step into superstardom. I've actually kind of been disappointed. His rookie year, he looked phenomenal. Didn't play in the finals last year.
Yeah.
Kind of feel like he's digressed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yep. So. There's no doubt he needs to get serious about it. Hey, Mark, great stuff as always.
Thank
man.
You,
great
brother.
To catch up. Thank you.
Safe travels in, man.
All right. Come on now. Memphis Boys and Girls Club, Thursday night. If you guys can tell them how to buy tickets, get a table. Please do. Hope to see you guys there. Love to meet you.
Yes, sir. Sounds good.
Cover,
thanks,
brother.
Mark.
Thank you.
Mark, bgcm.org for all the information there with Mark Spears. Good stuff. Yeah. Look, we have Caruso, good player. Not a star, but good player. Hero, Kennard, Strus, Kevin Love, Austin Reeves. Grayson Allen leads the league in three-point shooting.
Grayson, got to put him up in there.
Peyton Pritchard.
It's a better group now than it was in 16.
It's
when he
better,
had
top to
Jason
bottom.
Jason Smith, Doug McDermott, Chandler Parsons, Ryan Anderson.
Brutal.
Jimmer Fredette is quoted in the story.
That's
brutal. It's a better group now than it had in 16.
Yes.
But Mark's waiting on the next Larry Bird.
Oh, and you may have to wait for Cooper Flagg or Reed Shepard. I mean, those two guys, I think, are the future. You know, Filipowski, I mean, I don't think so, but he'll get drafted. You know, he'll get drafted in the lottery. I'm not high on him. Don't mistake what I'm saying.
I didn't realize Bouzelis counts. Does he?
I guess.
Well, he knows his background more because he's been around that team.
Yeah.
That he's you know, Lithuanian roots, but
I mean,
American guy.
Yeah, he's born in Chicago, so I mean.
So there's probably no accent
But he
there.
Is Lithuanian-American.
I mean, so if you got no accent, that means.
His parents played basketball in Lithuania before immigrating to the United States and settling in Chicago.
And they had him here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he probably counts.
It's like Mahomes. We'll have to fight over.
You're going to hold his name against him.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to have to fight over. I don't know. Like, Lithuanians, he's like, it's going to be one. If he's good, it's going to be like, who's he going to play for?
Like, huh? But
is he going to play for Lithuania or is he going to play for America? Probably
well, I
America.
Would imagine. No, because his parents are from Lithuania. I guess he's
well, okay,
play
if he doesn't play
he
for America,
he won't
he's not,
play
he's
for
not American.
He won't play for America.
Then he's not American.
Because we're too deep.
We can't claim
LeBron
him.
LeBron and them.
We cannot claim him then.
Going to play eight more years.
Because if that was the case, we'd just claim all the whites. Right? We claim Luka. We claim Porzingis. It'd be a much different conference. Jokic. I mean, we'd have a much different conversation. But if you don't play for America in the Olympics or the World Cup, you're not American.
Because he's going to go top five, right?
He'll be, in that discussion. Yep, for sure. Okay. Like Kyle Anderson, he played for China. He's China. So, that's just the way it goes.
Not really.
He is the only way he could play. But still.
That's what we explained.
But Bouzelis will be different, right? Bouzelis will be different because he can play for both. If he's good, he'll be able to play for both.
Okay.
Embiid could play for both. He chooses to play for America.
That's good.
So, I think the French say he's American.
They're like, he's not one of us. He's American. He's gone over to America, and he's been Americanized.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way it goes.
Oh, the accent matters to me.
Well, he's not American-born, but it's like whose country do you represent? You know? If you Eric Musselman was the coach of China. A lot of people don't know that. Before, he was the coach of China and the Dominican Republic, and I think there was one more.
He's like a mercenary.
He is. He can be bought and paid for.
Who will give me the check?
Yes. He's bought and paid for. But, you know, usually you only make the one decision. You make the one choice. Whose flag will you bear?
I remember watching him on game day this year and just thinking, this is not a good fit. Going back to Mus. Completely separate subject, but Cal will do so much better in that city. It was so out of place.
Yes.
Trying to call the Hogs and everything else, and they were doing all, it just didn't feel. Cal's just going to have them folks going nuts down there calling the Hogs.
It's a great fit, I think, guys.
It is. It's a better fit than, way better fit than Mus was. And that, Mus was actually successful there up until this year.
Hogs fans, they treat it like a pro state up there. It's going to be bananas.
That's why I said it reminds me, I think being back there will remind him a little bit of being back at Memphis.
I think that's right.
Because it's going to be a very passionate group.
They got money, too.
That has he's going to have everything he wants. And there's not going to be, I mean, there will be pressure to win, you know, just because it's they ran Mus's ass up out of there after three straight Sweet 16s and two Elite Eights in a row. But I think Mus just kind of graded everybody. I think they were just over him as a personality.
It wasn't a good fit at all.
Yeah.
Nope.
And so I think there was, you know, again, it's a new lease on life, right? That's what it is. You buy yourself a new lease on life. You get the hell out of the fishbowl at Kentucky, and you start over. And you maybe change a couple of things here and there.
And buy some horses.
But yeah, I mean, buy Walmart. So I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Ellen's going to be so happy because of all that mess up there in Lexington. You know, it was getting uncomfortable for her.
He's going to have a J.B. Hunt shirt on.
These folks don't appreciate us anymore after 15 years.
Exactly right. He'll play right to that, too. Right. You know he'll master that.
Oh, they'll just be running Fayetteville.
Ugh.
Yep. So anyway, it should be a very fun time, no doubt about it. Thanks to Mark Spears for joining us on the show today. Again, bgcm.org if you want to see and support the Boys and Girls Club of Memphis. Got Respect Burgers, then Jason Fitz at 125. Jason and John, 99.9 FM, ESPN.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.